Well, let's turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. When you start studying and looking at chronologically some of the things that that were going on during this specific week. Now, they refer to this as the Passion Week or Passover Week or the week leading up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. One of the things you'll notice is it starts out with today, which we recognize as Palm Sunday. And so let's start. See, that happened on a Sunday, and then you go through the week, and then we know the course of events. You know, during that same week was when they went back to the fig tree that had withered. Notice that it withered. That the same week that Jesus was betrayed, and this is one of the reasons why the Pharisees were so hot, were so mad, was because that was the same week that Jesus cleared out the temple. It was the same week that he went in there, and they were getting all crazy, and basically, the reason why they made a big deal about the money changers is that was the week that people go and they do certain sacrifices. Well, Passover. And so, people will come from far into Jerusalem to do it, and they didn't bring their animals with them. They would buy in the area. Well, in the temple, they were gouging. So wasn't the problem wasn't they were selling stuff in the temple. The problem was they were cheating people. They were gouging them and setting it for a lot higher than saying, well, you ought to pay more because it's a church. Oh, anyway, all right. So let's look at John chapter 12, and let's start at verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had came to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found the young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand that these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now let me just stop right there, because here's what happens, and we've talked about this before, how there's a lot of things that you don't recognize until you want to recognize them. If we have our own agenda, or maybe we have our own problems, and we're just wanting someone to help us. We're not wanting answers. We just want someone to actually, help us. That's kind of where socialism happens. Instead of finding answers, why don't you just do all the praying for me? Why don't you just give me the money instead of teaching me or showing me how to get money? You know, I appreciate all the different classes on leadership and management and success. And I haven't taken a whole lot of success classes, but I have taken quite a few, my opinion, I guess, not as much as some. And one of the things that you'll always hear in any success or motivational course is you will hear someone talk about hard work. They will talk about diligence. And so all this, the idea of people doing things for you is not a scriptural thing. And so all that being said, a lot of times, people, instead of wanting to get revelation, they want us to just, hey, just give me the cliff notes. Let me just give me the cliff notes and maybe the summary of it, and that's all that I need. It's very important for you and I to really understand what the Word is saying, what we believe on certain topics. I guess about 3 weeks ago, they had put a post, we put a post on Facebook regarding the prosperity class. And there was one gentleman from Tyler that said something negative, and he added a word that I would perceive as derogatory, and that's the only reason why we deleted it. I normally don't delete negative comments on the church Facebook. And the reason why, it's just a misunderstanding on their part. And so basically the comment was, well, you guys believe in that prosperity stuff like so-and-so does. They mentioned a couple people. And so what I did was I got on Facebook, I found the guy, I sent him a private message, and I said, hey, thank you for the question. Now, it wasn't a literal question, but it, you know, basically it's a cry for help. When someone is blows up at you, it's a cry for help. They just don't understand. So I wrote back and said, hey, this is what the Bible says about prosperity. He was referring more to the New Testament. He wanted to know where it was the New Testament. And so I explained it. I spelled it out, and I explained what the Bible, what the Greek definition for prosperity was. And it was wellness. It was wholeness. It was nothing missing, nothing broken. And so he understood. So I gave him a good understanding. And then I gave him a couple more things. And I said, man, I hope that answers your question. Man, if you have any more questions, feel free to holler. Well, the last three posts that I posted on Facebook, he hit like on all three of them. And so basically, we won him over because of an explanation. Because a lot of people don't know what you know, and we take for granted. And so what happens is, when someone tells something to us, well, I don't believe God wants all of us healed, and sometimes he wants us to suffer to learn. No, the only person that he needed to suffer was Jesus. That was the only one. And so that was that. But anyhow, so here we go. One of the terms that's used in the Old Testament, it's not used in the Old Testament, but there's an understanding of it. The lamb that was picked out, you see, we're fixed to celebrate Passover. We all know that during this time they came to celebrate Passover. Well, they brought a sacrificial lamb. Well, one of the terms that's used more or less in religious society is the paschal lamb, and it refers to the sacrificial lamb. So during this time of where Palm Sunday falls was about the time you would start picking out your sacrificial lamb to bring during that week to the slaughter, for the specific, because Passover was a remembrance, remember? Passover was remembering what God did for the children of Israel by the death angel passing over the houses where the blood was applied to the doorposts. And how many of you realize today we still apply by our declaration, we apply the blood, we speak the application of the blood of Jesus over our homes, over our lives. Just FYI, we're getting into storm season now, and so we apply the blood to our homes. Now, that may sound vicious and barbaric, but it's the understanding of what we're doing is we're bringing back an image and awareness. Everyone say awareness. We all have awareness for all these different things, and we're proud of it. But it seems like anybody that celebrates every single awareness is not aware of their covenant rights. They're not aware of the blood. Listen, I would rather be aware of my benefits instead of aware of all the world's problems, because once you are aware of the benefits, you have the answer to whatever the world's trying to get you to be aware of. Does that make sense? We all will do the awareness thing. Okay, so Jesus was picked out a long time ago. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. Now, we're going to get back to John 12, because we want to talk about this lamb, this sacrificial lamb. Isaiah 53 verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now, what is this talking about? You see, the Bible says during this time where he came into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry is what we call it, he came in on a donkey, not a stallion, not a horse. Now, a donkey was a symbol of humility. In other words, I want you to see this, because this gives a good understanding. It kind of differentiates how religion was in the past. Remember back in the day, if the preacher didn't scream, spit, shout, and halfway cuss, then he wasn't anointed. You know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, if he's not shouting or if he's not spitting, I'm not sure if he's anointed. And then because of that, because we thought if they didn't spit and shout and all that stuff and have the vein poking out up here, you know, and red face, you know, when a brown guy is red, it's actually purple, just FYI. And so they had all that. And so if you didn't do that, they thought they weren't anointed. So in schools of preaching, they taught you how to act like that. And so it was crazy. And with that, you can't muster up the anointing. And so anyhow, But what I'm saying here is, so we had this idea that being a person of authority is being mean, and whenever somebody tried to prophesy, and the Lord said, you know, and instead of, I mean, how many realize, first of all, the Lord ain't got, I don't believe God has jowls. You know what I'm saying? You think God has jowls? I learned that word from Keza. She talked about, oh, what is a jowl? Okay. Well, I don't think God has jowls, first of all. Number two, I don't think he needs to shake his head. I mean, you know, could you just imagine? I want to video that in slow motion. That would be very interesting, seeing that all in slow motion. All right. And so all that being said, a real authority is rather confident. You know, I miss my pastor, Dr. Bill Smith. He taught me a lot about real authority. And you know, I've seen him cast out devils. I mean, he was a mild-mannered guy. He was older. He wasn't loud, never got crazy. He just, matter of fact, devil, get right now. Just go. And I mean, those devils, they recognize that authority and they would leave. I mean, with sicknesses and various things. And I'm just like, so no script. And so, and then he was so nonchalant, he'd be cutting up with you, and all of a sudden, bam. You know, and so you're like, are you kidding? Prophesying over here. I'm like, are you kidding? Are you joking still? Or are you bad? He said, no, that's from the Lord. And so again, you don't have to muster up or change your demeanor. You know, you're preaching over here and all of a sudden, here it comes. You know, Jesus didn't need to come in looking like authority to be authority. You and I could be humble. Jesus walked in. I want you to see that this is an oxymoron, because triumphant procession or triumphant entry, typically in Roman warfare fashion, whenever there's the battle is won and we are triumphing, like Paul talks about in Ephesians, when we just won and are the end of the when it's all done, there is a triumphant entry. The winning general comes marching in with all his dress regalia, everything on him, all the, you know, in Rome, the all the red and the brass and all that kind of stuff that they wore. I mean, the whole full thing. They came in, I mean, their horses were dressed up, I mean, and then they came pulling, had a wagon, and they would have a cage on the wagon with the captured king and the captured general. And one of the things they always did was they would cut off the thumb and the big toes of all the captured generals, because you can't ever grab a sword without a thumb, and you can't advance without your big toes. And so all that being said, it's kind of weird that Jesus' triumphant entry was not, ta-da! It was very, very different. You see, you and I can walk in that kind of authority, be confident in who lives on the inside of us and whose child you are. Now, when you're in prayer at home, sometimes you get ugly with the devil, but we don't have to get ugly with our kids or get ugly with the, oh God. Because remember Matthew 6, don't be as the heathen do. You know, and oh God, or repetition, all that kind of stuff. All right, so it says here that he was silent. He was the sheep before the shears is dumb. He opened not his mouth. Now, I want you to see this. You can write this down. Write down John chapter 1, verse 29. This is John the Baptist. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. You see, here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, somebody declared and marked him as the sacrificial lamb. You see, we know that God picked him out a long time ago and everything was picked out and set in stone, but here's the first person to recognize, whoa, this is, I mean, it was kind of one of those deja vu moments. Wow. You know, everybody else sees a man, but John the Baptist, I believe, prophetically saw that all of us, whoa, this is the Lamb of God. As a matter of fact, John 1:36, just a few verses down, and looking unto Jesus, he walked and saith, behold the Lamb of God. And so here we are, Jesus' triumphant procession. Everyone sees Jesus, they're hollering, you know, Hosanna, which really one of the definitions of the word Hosanna means save now, deliver now. It came to be more of a praise later, but the original was, because they thought Jesus was going to rescue them from the Romans. That's what the whole thing about they thought he was going to rescue them, but they honored Jesus and the whole town, I mean all of Jerusalem, laying down palm branches on the ground. As a matter of fact, they didn't want Jesus rear end sweating on the back of the donkey. They laid their clothes on the donkey so Jesus can sit on there and not have to worry about getting all donkey smell. How many of y'all ever spent a long time on the back of a horse? Or yeah, you get sweaty and stinky. And man, there was one time I used to spend about 12 hours a day on a horse. And I couldn't tell if it was that was my sweat on my legs or the horse's sweat. And it was just, it just got real nasty. Now I want to say something about the paschal lamb, or the lamb of the Old Testament that was set up for and prepared for Passover. That lamb, again, was to commemorate the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. It wasn't a lamb for a sacrifice. However, Jesus, the perfect lamb, not only do we commemorate deliverance, but we also recognize the forgiveness of sin and a whole lot more. You can write down Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. It says, But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more he also is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Hebrews 12, 24 says, And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So in other words, this sacrifice is a whole lot better than just an Old Testament. Remember what Yahweh did back, 400, 700, whatever many years ago. It wasn't just a remembering of that. Now it's a whole new thing. Because remember, Isaiah 42 and 43 says that, Behold, I do a new thing. You know, God's not wanting us to always look in the past of what God did. God wants us to look ahead of what God still wants to do. The importance of understanding and choosing a lamb for the sacrifice, listen to this, steers us to understand God's covenant name, Jehovah Jireh. Now, the word Jehovah Jireh, because we're talking about this, God prepared things like this a long time ago. We know the whole sacrifice, the lamb understanding in the Old Testament of the Passover, but God was having to prepare things for us today, for us 2,000 years ago. There were thousands of years from Moses on to Jesus, but at the same time, what God was doing was making sure that He prepared things ahead of time. Write this down. Write down 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, it says, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. See, we Old Testament, we practice things that were the tradition of our fathers. And we do things, we understand the meaning of it, but the power of it isn't there. All right, but with the precious blood of Jesus, of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So here's the preparation. You see, I believe God always wants us prepared for what He's doing, what He's about to do. That's why, and I've heard it said for years as a kid, but never got it until I got older, that, we should be preparing for church when we get up on Sunday morning. Now, we should be prepared all the time, blah, 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 I know that. But what I'm saying is, a lot of times, it seems like the devil attacks on Sunday morning. Somebody wakes up late, the car doesn't start, this happens, that happens, and by the time you get, especially for preacher families, the preacher, that's where it all, man, we're, by the time we get to church, nobody's talking to each other because we just barked at each other and we're hollering and screaming and shouting and all that kind of stuff, And by the time we get to church, we don't want to see each other. I remember hearing stories. Brother John Osteen told one time about when they got to church. They were, man, him and Miss Doty, boy, they had got into it. Man, they had been, rah! And so finally they get there in the front row smiling and just being all nice looking. And so finally, I think she told him right before he got up to go preach, You're in sin because you haven't repented. You need to repent before you get up on that stage. So he looks at her, Do you want to preach today? Okay, all right. I love Pastor John Osteen. He's something else. All right, so back to this. You see, I believe even at the point of the original Passover, when the death angel was sent, I believe God was still thinking about there's coming a day where my son is not only going to give them deliverance from all the junk, but also the forgiveness of sin. John chapter 12, verse 7, then Jesus said, this is talking about the lady with the alabaster box. He said, leave her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. You see, there's a preparation for everything. There's a preparing for what God is going to do. The question is, what are we thinking? What is on our mind? As we get toward this Easter time, I believe God wants fresh and new things for us. I believe that every moment, you see, God is into the new. He's always into new things and fresh things. And, oh, here comes another, you know, Good Friday and then Easter. And Saturday we don't really do much, but, you know, it's just whatever. Let's just get past Easter. You know, I'll be honest with you. A lot of us in church in planning the calendar year, oh, man, we'll just get past Easter. Listen, we've got to realize God wants to do something new on Easter. Well, you know, Easter's a day. One of the 2 days every year the people that don't go to church go to church. Listen, don't have that. No, I know y'all don't. But we don't need to have that attitude. Well, you know, those people that don't. No, I'm ready to receive them and shock them with the Word of God. Shock them with the love of God. Shock them with the anointing. Oh, man, this Easter was different. I go to church on Easter and on Christmas Sunday, but something happened today. What happened? Did you meet the pastor? No, it was that person by the back door. They just laid here. They just touched my hand. It was like I lit up. Something happened. I need to go back. Oh, man, wouldn't that be awesome? Listen, I believe if we start thinking about, God, what do you want for me? What do you want through me this Easter? I believe things will be different. Because, see, Jesus told the disciples all about what he was going to do, but they never kept their mind on it. They just kept thinking about Jesus is going to deliver us from the Romans, you know, and what about me? How about me be the first one in heaven, and how about I sit by your side? No, me, I'm going to sit by your side. They got all kind of crazy stuff, but Jesus, his mind is on what? See, that Sunday was the preparation. Palm Sunday, he was setting it all in order. He's winding it all down. I'm declaring my triumphant. This is this moment of my triumph right now. They don't know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing. This is my triumphant entry. You know, one of the greatest events of faith, Bible faith, was demonstrated in the United States, 300 years ago? It was a written covenant called the Declaration of Independence. Now, what was so faith-filled about the Declaration of Independence? They declared they were free from Great Britain before they were set free. You see, they made a declaration of their freedom, and then they faced a fight. But because they believed it, they spoke it. Listen, it didn't look like anybody was being triumphant that day when Jesus rode in there, but he knew it. Listen, nobody has to know it but you. All you, the doctor can look at you and say, no, sweetheart, you're not triumphant. No. I done declared it, so it's good. We learned this morning. I'm declaring what he already said. Even as I believe, therefore I also speak. The word is near me, in my mouth and in my heart. The word of faith that we preach, we proclaim, and we declare. Amen? In Isaiah 53:7, it says this, as he was oppressed and afflicted. He was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to slaughter, a sheep before the shears. Listen, in that moment that he walked into Jerusalem, he didn't open his mouth. He came in with humility. He knew what was going to happen. And you know, he knew they weren't going to understand it. Here, they still think they killed Jesus. Oh no, no one killed Jesus. The week before the event, he escaped some people trying to kill him already. No, you can't kill him. He's on a mission. Listen, you don't have to check out until your mission is done. That's why the Bible says without vision, people check out. They perish. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 3 says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is he, the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. I want you to see something. Remember I mentioned we got to keep our mind, our eyes on what Jesus said. Because look, we could easily get sidetracked. I want you to see this. That was Sunday, Palm Sunday. It was a late Passover night, early Friday morning that he was arrested. He was tried. and he was presented before the people out in that little area in there in Jerusalem. And here's what happened. Mark chapter 15, verse 12 and 13 says, and Pilate answered, because remember, they were saying, the same town, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, glory to God, and blessed is he. Y'all like my dance? I can't really dance. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then here we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then you have 5 days later, the tune has changed. And Pilate answered and said to them, what shall we do then unto him who you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Listen, we can hear the message of faith today, and by tomorrow morning, we are in doom and gloom unless we keep the Word of God. What God's trying to do, keep it on the inside of us. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And when I was younger, one of my spiritual fathers used to always say, Christians, we leak. And so stay full because you're leaking. You're leaking the Word. You're leaking out. For if the Word was spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? In other words, listen, what we don't give attention to, we're neglecting. You can write down Proverbs chapter 4, the whole chapter. The Proverbs chapter 4, listen to what it tells us to do. It says, God says, keep my commandments, keep my words. He says, retain my words, retain my commandments, hear my word, exalt my commandments, take hold of my commandments, preserve my word. Then he says again, all in one chapter, then he says, don't forsake. That word forsake is turn away deliberately. Well, I've tried this thing for 3 months. 3 months, that's all. You give up? You're going to give up after because it's 3 months? Did somebody promise you a time frame on this thing? No, nobody gave you a time frame. The spirit realm doesn't have time frame. Stand on what you know you heard from the Lord. And we got the Word to tell us what we stood for. Very simply this morning, Palm Sunday is a great reminder of this. We could sound real good on one day, and 5 days later, we can change our tune. I'm telling you, if we'll keep our eyes on the living Word, if we will keep our eyes on the Word of life. The disciples said when 500 disciples left, and then 70, and all that left them, left Jesus. And Jesus looks at his 12, y'all gonna leave too? And they said, where shall we go? You're the only ones that has the words of life. If we will keep our mind, keep meditating, keep our understanding on. The disciples didn't even do it, y'all. I mean, they knew he'd been talking about dying. And matter of fact, that same week, he says, the temple's gonna be destroyed. This temple's gonna be destroyed one day. And they have no idea what he's talking about. No earthly idea what Jesus is talking about. And then all of a sudden, he gets arrested and they all lost their mind. Peter is cutting people's ears off and Jesus put him back on. And then Peter is cussing at people and denying Jesus 3 times. Done lost their ever-loving mind. But you know what? I think we've all been there. Now maybe we ain't cut nobody, or maybe you have. Don't tell me. I'd rather not know. You know, I come from a wacky whack job background. And so I can tell you stories about knife throwing in my house and all that kind of fun stuff. It's great. But what I'm saying this morning is this, is as we keep our eyes on the promises of God, on what He said, not just said in parts of the Bible, but in the rest of the Bible, I believe that this can be newness of life for you. As Easter Sunday comes around, we receive communion, it'll be different. Never before has it been like this. And I believe things will be fresh and new because that's what God wants for you. Amen. Let's stand.